congratulations to Tamba Holly, Eric Berry, Derek Johnson, Jamal Charles, and Colquitt. You know, we were talking about it yesterday, who may or may not get the bids, and you just never know. And I thought Jamal had a good chance. Tamba, you know, he has a good work ethic, and I think everybody sees that and recognizes that, productive guy. And then Eric Berry, we mentioned that he was coming on and making plays and looking more like the Eric Berry of his rookie year. And so I think people have noticed that as well. And everybody knows about Jamal. I think that's well-deserved. And then Colquitt. I think sometimes, you know, it's a little bit of a surprise with punters. But one of the things that he's done is he leads the AFC in balls inside the 20. You know, balls downed inside the 20. And you talk about field position and helping your team, he definitely does that. Good directional guy. And then in that plus 50 area, as we mentioned, he does a good job there also. There's one other guy that I...
Derek.
Oh, yeah, Derek. Yeah, we talked about him yesterday, his production. He's a consistent, productive player that has a knack for the football. He can make plays in the backfield. He can make plays on the sideline. He can make plays down the field. And I felt like that with his production that he would get some consideration. And so hats off to those guys for what they were able to accomplish and a well-deserved reward. And so there is a bright spot in the season that we have guys that people respect, the way they play, the way they conduct themselves, and voted them to the Pro Bowl. All right, so now then, myself, I had my knee aspirated today, this morning, and so that's why I'm poking along a little bit, and it should be okay. Been icing, and I just have to go slow initially. So today at practice, I might not be running around as much. I might even have a seat and just watch today to take the load off of that knee. The other injured guys that we have and we have to check on is Brandon Albert wasn't able to do anything yesterday, so he didn't practice. And doubtful that he'll practice today, but we'll see if he can do anything. Ryan Lilger, you know, his program, he's been on that program for a couple of weeks now. Tyson Jackson, because of his injury. Copper, because of his injury. Moyaki still is not cleared to play. He's getting better, but he's not clear yet. We think that we have an outside chance with him. So he's not practicing today, but he'll be doing some working with the trainers. Stevenson still has the illness, and he's at home. Corey, he showed up today, and he was ill. And so we had to send Corey home.
I'm sorry, Romeo, which player?
93, Corey. Greenwood. Yeah. And so we sent him home. Tamba is back in the building, and then Jamal is back in the building. So they should do something today. And so that's what we got as far as the injuries are concerned. And, you know, we're trying to get ready to play. I think that with having guys selected to the Pro Bowl, that gives those guys incentives to play well. And I think that they will also give the guys around them some incentive to play well. So, I expected that we were going to go play and play a good game anyway, but now got a little bit more juice, and so we should go play a good football game.
You will not need those on Sunday, is that right?
I hope not. Yeah, hope not. And if I need those, I'll probably be in the box, you know.
Is this something that's been bothering you all year?
Well, not regularly. You know, sometimes off and on, it gets sore, gets irritated. But it blew up on me last night. And so when I went to the doctor, he took quite a bit of fluid off of it.
Didn't say how much, did you know?
No, he didn't tell me exactly, because I had my eyes closed.
When you were in Cleveland, did you coach a game or more than one game upstairs?
No. All the games were on the sideline there.
Coach, knowing how good Peyton Manning is at making his teammates better, I'm just curious of your evaluation of the receivers that he has, the weapons that he uses on the outside.
Well, he uses everybody, first of all, and so that that makes all of them work to get open, to go get the ball for him, and he puts it where they can get it, you know, and so that's very helpful. But that's the thing about being a receiver for Peyton. You know that if you can get open, Peyton will get you the ball, and he's going to give it to you where you have a chance to catch it. And so those guys work really hard to get open, and that's why so many of them have gotten the football. And I think that they're all better as a result of it, because you know that if the ball is coming, if you can get open, the ball is going to come to you. So you work really hard to get open, and then when the ball comes to you, you make the plays. And if you, as you look at their team, you know, there are some really good throws and some really good catches that those guys make. And he makes them better, and they are better because he's throwing to them.
Especially with the personality of a guy like Peyton Manning, probably not many like him, but the demanding quarterback, I mean, he demands a lot from his teammates. Does that demand come before his success, or does success have to come before he can demand?
Well, I think Peyton, being the leader that he is, he had a standard that he felt like that he needed to set so that he could be the best he could be. And he got those guys to go along with him. You know, like early on, and he still does it today, one of the things that he always did in pregame, he would get those receivers out there, and they would throw the whole route tree. You know, they would have a practice before the game. And that, you know, he did that to make him better, but also it made the receivers better because they were out there working with him. So, you know, and they saw that he was a talent, and if you want the ball to come your way, you go out there and you work, you know. And then I think that what Peyton has brought to Denver as well is the standard that he sets for offense. Then those guys on the defense, they also are setting standards similar to what he does for the offense. And so now your whole team, you know, is doing extra, working hard, and getting better.
If you have to sit upstairs on Sunday, what does that do to the dynamics of the coaching decision? I mean, what, you have a guy who's upstairs going to take your place on the sideline necessarily? Or? Mm-hmm.
If I go upstairs, I'll just go upstairs, and I'll be talking to Gary, and I'll be talking to Dayball, and I can get word to Tom if I need to, and then just call the game from up there. Make critical, you know, decisions from upstairs. Now, some people like to go upstairs and call the game or look at the game because they feel like they can see more than they can on the sideline. But I've always been a sideline guy myself.
Coach, when you look back at the season, the five Pro Bowlers and just the two wins, you know, outside of turnovers, when you look back at the season, why do you think this team is here with just two wins?
Well, the turnovers are the biggest thing, you know, interceptions and fumbles. And then this team, early on, defensively, we gave up easy touchdown passes, you know, which kept us out of the games, you know. And then we had penalties at inopportune times. And so we tried to slow those things down, and we did. You know, a couple of them cropped up last week. But we slowed down the turnover thing, and we slowed down the penalty thing. So if we do that, then we're going to be competitive and we're in the games. And now then we got to give ourselves a chance to win after that. And we screwed that up sometimes when we've given ourselves a chance to win, you know, get into the red zone and miss a field goal or fumble the ball, you know, and those things. And those are momentum swings that when you're going against good teams, it's hard to overcome.
Coach,